Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is the continuing story, the Acts of the Apostles that we heard of last week and continue again this morning. You may be seated. Have you ever heard it asked, what's the answer to every Sunday school question? And the answer to that question is sometimes a somewhat wry, perhaps a little bit sarcastic, Jesus. And I've heard just that tone, that answer, in a similar tone, spoken by a student that was obviously just trying to get a laugh out of his or her classmates, and perhaps at the same time make light of the whole subject, as if to say, it doesn't matter, the answer is always the same, and it's really not all that important. Perhaps even more sincerely, it does seem like we speak the name of Jesus an awful lot in places like this. This is a true story. There was a three-year-old boy who was reluctant, call it protesting, the need to return to his church-affiliated preschool the next day. And after a little bit of conversation back and forth, his mother finally sort of coaxed it out of him. And so in frustration, the child finally exclaims, Jesus, 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 all we ever talk about is Jesus. Even when he's dead, we still talk about him. I know this to be true because it happened in my home. And he went back to school. But whether it is sincere confusion or sarcasm, those are by no means the only ways in which we hear the name of our Lord bandied about in our culture. How often have you heard such a careless response to something surprising? Perhaps it's a large homework assignment unexpectedly assigned by a teacher or a professor. Or maybe it's some shocking piece of gossip that's whispered in quiet tones in a private little circle, or maybe it's seeing another driver do something especially foolish. And in each one of those situations, the kind of breathy response can be the same. Jesus. And perhaps most jarring is when that very name is no longer joyfully celebrated in the great Easter hymns that proclaim him to be the one risen today, hallelujah. No, instead, that name is ripped out of the hymn, ripped off the pages of Scripture, and squandered on nothing more than foolish anger. Jesus Christ. That name, those two words, can be used in prayer and great praise, and they can be a shameless, flagrant violation of God's command that thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. Now, last week, Pastor Heinert focused our attention on the miracle and the proclamation that occurred in the name of Jesus. It was the account that just precedes our first reading for today from the Acts of the Apostles. And very briefly, let's recall again what happened. It was after Jesus' resurrection, after the ascension, and after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples, particularly Peter and John, are boldly proclaiming the gospel, teaching about none other than Jesus Christ. And in the temple, a man crippled from birth comes to them and asks for some money. And instead of giving him a few coins, Peter makes this bold proclamation: "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he walked. And the people, of course, were amazed. So Peter explained, This name belongs to the one you handed over to Pilate. You disowned the holy and righteous one. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. And then we get to Acts chapter 3, 16. Peter says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given him this complete healing, as you can all see." That's power. This is no ordinary name to be tossed around like a joke or a curse. And it was the preaching of Jesus and him raised from the dead and the miraculous scene in the temple that gets Peter and John into so much trouble with the religious leaders. And that's where we pick up the biblical account today. The men are confronted and thrown into jail. But it doesn't matter, because we read in chapter 4, verse 3, "Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. And so the religious leaders realize they have this kind of unwelcome epidemic of faith in this Jesus on their hands, and they're going to do something to stop it. So they challenge the disciples. "By what power or what name did you do this?" they ask. What a dumb question. Because that gives Peter the perfect opportunity to proclaim again this great truth. Same truth, new audience. "Let it be known to all of you," he declares, "that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well." But Peter doesn't stop at physical healing. No, he takes his message one giant leap further. He goes on to declare, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected that has become the cornerstone." And then here it is, the big finish. "There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And there it is, plain as day. Faith in the name of Jesus Christ is the only way unto eternal life. That is power. And this is no ordinary name to be tossed around as a joke or a curse. Here at verse 12, at this great proclamation of St. Peter, is where we really intersect with this part of the Bible. Because I think we can fairly easily dismiss in our own minds such healing miracles as something either that happened simply long, long ago when Jesus and his disciples walked the earth, or at least only happens in really rare, rare circumstances, the kind of thing that doesn't really touch most of us personally. But the need for salvation surely does touch every one of us. And the problem is, we don't see our broken condition in the same way that you can obviously see the brokenness of someone that is crippled. But it's there. It's there in us. Just as surely as that man could not walk, we are spiritually crippled. And so we come back to the cross, back to the house of our Lord every week. And there we confess that we are broken, that we cannot stand on our own before God. And having confessed our sin, we hear this word of absolution as if it were spoken to each one of us by God Himself, that you are forgiven. You are healed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by faith in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our lives are connected to that power, that grace, and the mercy of God's redemption. There is no other name for whom we can ascribe all of the different roles that you see on the image projected this morning. As we read in our gospel lesson just a moment ago, He is the good shepherd that lays down His life for His sheep. But more than that, He is the Holy One. He is our cornerstone. He is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the very Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the light of the world that no darkness can overcome. He is the way, the truth, the life. Emmanuel, God come to be with us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, salvation is found in no other name. And how we handle the name is deadly serious. Because ultimately, how we handle the name of Jesus reflects our own faith. If the name of Jesus can be tossed around in your everyday speech like some sort of casual, meaningless exclamation, or as a means to swear and express your intense anger, then what does it say about what His name means on your own heart? We read in the Epistle of James, faith without works is dead. So if we claim faith in Christ, but we will not honor the very name of our salvation, then I would ask again, what does that say about our faith? Consider what St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians. He said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil." How very effective it can be that the evil one has led so many people to treat the name above all names as if it were so very trivial. But the truth remains. By faith in the bearer of that name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the very gates of heaven are opened, and sin and death were defeated on that cross, and new life has come again on that glorious Easter morning. And the day will come, you may rest assured, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I pray that that day of confession and faith has already come for you in this life, and that you remain steadfast in that faith until the day when all of those who have called in faith upon the name of our Lord will be gathered around the throne of God and celebrate in the eternal kingdom of God. For no other name will do. Amen.